Welcome to the Man in the Mirror Bible Study Podcast. Today we're going on in our series in James, and our message is titled, A Man of Integrity Who Keeps His Word. And our speaker is Pat Morley, author and founder of Man in the Mirror.
Good morning, men. Good morning. Welcome to Man in the Mirror Men's Bible Study. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're awesome glad to have you with us. And if you're online with us, we want to welcome you as well with our Man in the Mirror welcome, our greeting, hopefully a rousing Man in the Mirror warm welcome greeting. So guys, would you join me and welcome the online guys on the count of three, one, two, three, hoorah! All right, glad to have you with us. All right, we're in this series on the wisdom of James. So we're at James chapter 5, verse 12 today, one verse. And the title of the message is, A Man of Integrity Who Keeps His Word. A Man of Integrity Who Keeps His Word. You have favorite brands. I have favorite brands. And it may not be appropriate, but I'm going to tell you three of them. Amazon. I just love Amazon as a brand. And the reason I love Amazon as a brand is they are so consumer-centric, and they do exactly, they keep their promises. They just do what they say they will do in terms of sending things on time and being able to return them and get reimbursed and so forth. It's a fabulous brand to me. Apple. Our son is worked for Apple when he was in college. In 2007, when the iPhone came out, I was in line. I just love that brand, and it performs. They keep their promises. REI is like my Uber brand. I just love REI. It's a co-op, so I'm actually a member of REI, probably. So how many of you are REI members? Well, look at there. And so I love their guarantee policy, their return policy. The people who work there are part of the co-op themselves. It's just a beautiful brand. And you can trust them. They're predictable. People have brands too. You have a brand. When people think of you, they think of you and they say, you know, I can trust that guy. His word is his bond. You can take it to the bank. Or they think about you and they think, well, if he tells me he's going to do something, we'll see. You know, sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. Or hopefully it's not. When they think of you or someone you know, no way. He's all talk. That'll never happen, you know. He said he's going to do something. Forget about it. So that's what we're looking at here today. We're going to look at this text, James chapter 5, verse 12. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. And we're going to look into this a little bit. First thing is, I just want us to look at this, the above all cluster. So the text starts out, above all, my brothers and sisters. And so we know it's a text to believers. And but these words of above all, this elevates this text. This is the only time James says above all, and we only see it a few times in Scripture. In the secular world, my first life philosophy was built around an above all statement. I was reading Shakespeare for an English exam. I was in the Army. I was at Fort Bragg. I was at night school at NC State. And I was reading Shakespeare Hamlet. And I read this verse, and I was a young man looking for a life purpose and meaning and a philosophy of life. And I read in Hamlet, "This above all, to thine own self be true. And it must follow, as the night the day, thou canst not then be false to any man." And I remember thinking, "Eureka, this is the most noble thought to that point that I had ever heard uttered." And so I decided to adopt that as my life credo and try to do the right thing by every person I met every day. And on that day, I became a moralist. And of course, anytime you join a new group, you begin to meet the other people in the group, whether it's the chamber or the rotary. So I started to meet the other moralists. And I quickly realized that all moralists basically have one thing in common. None of them have any money. And so I decided to become a materialist as well. And anyway, that's another story for another day. But there are above all statements that are very important. And in Scripture, above all statements, they put integrity on par with these things. Fear God above all gods. Above all else, guard your heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Jesus, who comes from above, is above all. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over many offenses. Above all, understand how Scripture came about. Above all, in the last days, there will be scoffers. And so it's rare air to be an above all statement. So that's just sort of a preamble to this, is that we're meant to take all Scripture seriously, but this is a part of this cluster of above all statements that sort of elevates it when you read. Andrew Carnegie said something. Let me first tell you, I'm sure I've told you this before, but the single most unpredictable part of my career has been figuring out who's going to follow through on what they said. For example, I contacted some friends and through referrals found a landscaper who does installations and design, that kind of thing, because I needed to get some a hedge replaced and a few new things done. And so the person came out to visit, and then they said that they would be there the next week. And then they didn't come, so I texted them, and they said, well, they would be there the following week. And so I texted them, and they no response. And then finally I said, well, I understand what's going on here. And then they texted me, and they said, oh, I've been out of town. I had a family problem, and I'll be there next week. And now it's the end of that week. And so that person now has a brand with me. They don't follow through. It's just been the most unpredictable. But here's the thing. When I met that person the first time, it was on site, I thought to myself, finally, I found somebody that I can trust. Only find out I can't. It's just been the most unpredictable part of my career. Who can you trust? Who can you trust? Who's going to do what they said they would do? Who's going to follow through? And then this is why this particular quote by Andrew Carnegie Hall and all that, the steel person, is it Bethlehem Steel? Anyway, Andrew Carnegie, or Carnegie, he said this, "As I grow older, I pay less attention to what men say. I just watch what they do." Yeah. The older I get, the less, and it's true for me too, the older I get, the less attention I pay to what people say. I just watch what they do. I just see how it unfolds, because so many people make these, swear on their mother's grave that they'll do this and that, and then we could go on and on about that, but we're going to go on and on about the text instead. I want to give you the big idea for the day, and it absolutely is the most unmemorable big idea that I've ever come up with. But I think it's so important to understand that these concepts all rise and fall on keeping our word. And here's the big idea for the day. Trust, confidence, reputation, predictability, momentum, and impact all rise and fall on keeping your word. All right. So I don't expect anybody to remember that, but you can see there's a cluster of words here, like the above all cluster. There's a cluster of words here that are the things that keep us running, that keep you running, keep your family running, keep your company running, keep your church running, keep your society running, keep the whole world running. You know, the whole world revolves on trust. I mean, when you leave here today in your car, you're 100% living on trust. It's a faith deal. It's faith that you're going to stay on your side of the yellow line, and the other car is going to stay on their side of the yellow line. And without that people keeping their word to obey the rules of the road, everything loses momentum, and there is an impact. Oh, that was funny. A different kind of impact. So I want to talk more now about the text. Keeping your word is part of the brand is the next thing, you know, that I want to talk about. Yes. And so let's look back at James 5:12. It goes on, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. The situation in the culture in which James was living was very lax. And there was a lot of you saw Peter swearing on this and so on. And people were making all kinds of commitments, swearing on heaven, swearing on earth, swearing on their head, swearing on Jerusalem, they're swearing on everything. It was just like people were making all kinds of claims. And they were just very, very lax about the promises that they would make. They were also very careful not to actually swear, I swear to God. They would say, you know, I swear on heaven. But what they were doing in that culture, in many cases, they were trying to make their promises non-binding. They were trying to hedge their bets. And so we, of course, see a lot of that going on. And so James is saying, you know, don't do that. Don't swear. Don't swear by heaven. Don't swear by earth or anything else. And this was a common practice to swear. And these words come right out of the words from Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. And I'll get to that, I guess, in a minute. But I want to give you some examples of some of the ways that we do this today. You know, I'll call you next week. I swear, I promise, I'll call you next week. I swear to God, I'll never do that again. I swear to God, you can count on me. I swear to God, I didn't do it. On a stack of Bibles, so help me God. Let's shake on it. Sign here, sign in a contract. That's giving an oath, right? Boy Scouts honor. With this ring, I thee wed. On my mother's grave, cross my heart and hope to die. Honey, I promise I'll be home by 6. I didn't make it. Honey, it'll never happen again. These are examples of oaths and so forth and promises that we make, some big, some small. Jesus said this in Matthew 5, verses 33 to 37. Again, you have heard it said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all. Here, these are, so you can see where James basically is lifting what he said directly from his older brother, Jesus. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool. These are words out of Isaiah. Or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. So you see that what Jesus, and Jesus does make these statements that are absolutist and doesn't really put them in context, leaving us to think through what the context is. And the context in this particular passage is that he lived in the same culture in which James was living, where people were, you know, I swear on heaven that I will honor this contract. They would leave out the word God because they were wanting to hedge their bets and leave them a way out to renegotiate the contract. Today, we don't even do that. Have any of you ever been retraded on a contract, a real estate contract? So, a big thing, and my background's real estate, and so a big thing, it still is to sign somebody up on a contract and then get them all committed. Yeah, and then you have a contingency, which is fine to have a contingency if you want a contingency for the reasons the contingency is in there, but a lot of people will use the contingency to get the person so committed that they're counting on the closing, they need the closing, they've already committed the money, and then you retrade them on the price. You say, well, I'm not going to close unless you knock off X number of dollars, or I'm not going to close unless you do this or that. And so this is the kind of thing that you see today, and this kind of thing was going on in that culture as well. And Jesus is saying, you know, all you need to say is a simple yes or no. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, depending on the version. Anything beyond this is evil, or in other versions and in this version, anything beyond this comes from the evil one. So anything that is a violation of your integrity comes from the evil one. And now we'll see here in a moment, James says it a little differently. James says, all you need to say is a simple yes or no. We'll talk about Ecclesiastes 5, verse 5 here in a moment. And Jesus says the exact same words. In fact, the Greek words are even the same. All you need to say is a simple yes or no, and anything beyond this comes from the evil one. James says it this way, otherwise you will be condemned. So he's not talking about salvation. There's no condemnation if you are in Christ. Probably he's talking about cultural condemnation. You'll be judged. So, you know, if a company violates their word over and over and over again, they get a bad reputation. And there's a judgment, there's a condemnation. And if you repeatedly don't keep your word, your brand gets tarnished the same way. And so James is trying to help us not have this happen. He's trying to help us either establish, enhance, or rehabilitate our reputation by telling us, above all, just do what you said you do. Yes, be yes, no, be no. If you are casual with your promises, then people are going to brand you as someone they can't trust. That's one way I talk about this condemnation. And Jesus put it, anything beyond this comes from the evil one. The same thing. All right, caveat here. It's okay to sign contracts, exchange vows, and make pledges. I mean, that's part of our culture. It's part of we have these things mostly because of the fall. But not because you need them, these contracts, vows, and pledges. Not because you need them to follow through. You don't need a contract. If you need a contract to follow through, then what's that a sign of? You know, some core lack of integrity on your part that you actually have to have a contract to follow through. It's fine to have a contract because you, and contracts also spell out other things besides the moral obligations, right? The terms of the sale and so forth. But we don't do that because we need them to follow through or as an incentive to keep our word. Our incentive to keep our word is that is Jesus, our King, tells us, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Simple as that. Again, the big idea here. So trust, confidence, your reputation, predictability, momentum, and impact all rise and fall on keeping your word. And then finally, how can you protect your brand? Let's talk about protecting your brand a little bit, your personal brand. What happens when you keep your word? I learned this a long, long time ago. There's a man named Howard Hendricks, a seminary professor. He wrote a book, and he drew attention to the idea that in communication, there is a correlation between predictability and impact. The more predictable you are, the lower your impact in communication. So if I'm up here and I'm just telling you everything you already knew, or saying everything you already knew in the same way you already say it, if I didn't stand up here and either say something you didn't know or help you think about something you already know in a different way, if I didn't shine it in a different light, there'd be no impact, right? So there is a correlation in communication between predictability and impact. The more predictable you are, the lower your impact. It's exactly the opposite everywhere else. In business, and by the way, when I started out, I was the most predictable speaker that ever existed. And that's because I was coming from the hushed tones of and predictable patterns of the boardroom. In other words, in business, the key to running a good business is to be completely predictable. To be completely predictable. In other words, if you own a business and you are unpredictable, then and anybody working for you, they have no confidence to act on their own because they don't know how you're going to take it. So, if you run a business, the key is to be completely predictable so that after you finish the meeting, people go off to do what they want to do. And maybe, who knows, maybe it's not just in the other room. Maybe it's across the country. They're going, been in for a meeting and they're going back across the country. If you are predictable and they know what you would do in a given situation, they have a tremendous amount of freedom, a tremendous amount of confidence. And so they get in a situation, and it could go to the left or the right, and they know what to do because you have set up a predictable situation. So when we keep our word, that makes us predictable. And when we are predictable, that means that our impact increases. When we're unpredictable, we lose momentum. When we change our mind, when we set people off, maybe our children off on one course of action, and then they go do something, and then we change our minds and tell them to do everything, they lose confidence because we have not been predictable, and so things come to a standstill. I didn't say that as well as I wanted, but you get the idea. And then when we keep our word, another thing that happens is that you win respect. Francis Schaeffer, the theologian who started Libri, 20th century theologian, he said, if you do your work well, you will have a chance to speak. So the idea of doing good work, keeping your word, you will get a chance to speak. Because why? Because you win the respect of other people. And so keeping your word is part of that process. So now, what should you do, though? When you can't keep your word, when you shouldn't keep your word, when you get a better offer, when you won't keep your word, and then when you didn't keep your word. I went to work for a finance company, GAC Finance. Are they still around? I don't know. GAC Finance, it was a small loans company. Got out of the Army, had a couple of months before I went to the University of Florida, so I took a job as a collections agent, and had a mentor, and he was incredibly consumer-centric, and he said, Pat, when you go out to make a collection, there are three reasons that people haven't paid their small loan payment. They can't pay, they won't pay, or they shouldn't pay. And your job is to figure out which reason and then work it out from there. I mean, if they can't pay, then we will work with them if they want to work with us. If somebody won't pay, well, then we have to go ahead and implement the small print in the contract. But what if they shouldn't pay? Well, maybe there's a legitimate discrepancy in the count that needs to be worked out. Maybe they did make a payment and somehow it didn't get posted, whatever the case might be. And so nobody always keeps their word every time. I don't, you don't, nobody does. The most important thing to do when we don't keep our word is to own it. So this landscaper, they're just wiggling all around with all these lies and everything. Why don't you just tell me the truth? I don't have time. I didn't have time. I still want the business, but I let you down. And is there some way we can work it out? And I would work with them. As it is, I have somebody else coming today. And so you either want or you didn't do it. Just own it. Just own it. That's the way to building a great, one of the ways to really rebuilding, enhancing a good reputation. Keeping your word, a couple of verses, Psalm 15, several verses from Psalm 15. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? The one whose walk is blameless, who keeps an oath, I guess I left an S out there, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. I found this verse when I had an investment that had gone south. The lender had summoned me to come up to the Northeast to meet with them, and I was preparing to go to war and fight them, but I didn't have peace about it. And I got up real early the morning before the meeting in the hotel room, and I read this verse, he who keeps his oath even when it hurts. I had given them my word that if certain things didn't happen, what happened was a building over in Tampa that I'd built, and I had a savings and loan association in there. Of course, that whole industry went belly up, right? Well, I was able to put Time Warner Cable in that space, but I needed more loan money to do it, and they had given me certain benchmarks and metrics I had to meet, and I had agreed that if I didn't meet those milestones, that I would forfeit the building to them. And I hadn't met them. I couldn't meet them. It just, the market was horrible, couldn't meet them. But I was thinking I was going to fight them, but I had no peace. And then I read this verse. He who keeps his oath even when it hurts and doesn't change his mind. And I had peace. And I walked in the meeting, and I gave them the keys to the building, figuratively. Gave them the keys to the building, and I called everybody back in Orlando that I built this war room and all this kind of, and said, it's done. It's done. Because this is what a man of God is supposed to do. It's better not to make a vow than to make one and not fulfill it. The big idea today, trust, confidence, reputation, predictability, momentum, and impact, they all rise on keeping your word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your scripture. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for how the gospel affects our everyday living. And I pray that you'd help each of us to, if we're trying to establish how we're going to live our lives, or we're trying to enhance how we live our lives, or we're trying to rehabilitate how we live our lives, I pray that you'd bring the words of the scripture now home into our hearts and give them a place to live and to flourish. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Thank you for joining us today. You can find the Man in the Mirror Bible Study wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as on our YouTube page. If you have found this helpful, please subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and share the podcast with friends. Since 1986, Man in the Mirror has been teaching the Bible, helping us reflect deeply as men and apply God's truth to our lives. This Bible study is recorded in front of a live audience every Friday morning outside of Orlando, Florida. If you need help navigating your life or leading other men, please go to maninthemirror.org and check out our vast library of Bible study videos, blogs, and articles on Christian growth and leadership. There are plenty of resources you can use to grow in your faith and help others grow too. At maninthemirror.org, you will find books written just for men, helpful materials for your church's ministry to men, and even a potential career in men's discipleship. If you're a man personally struggling in life, or you need help in discipling men, please send us an email at BibleStudy@maninthemirror.org and let us know how we can help.